God is so good, just like that song said. And one of the really, really good things that God has done for us is that God has given us His Word, right? God's given us His Word. First graders, I want you to go ahead and get that Bible in your hands. All of us, if we've got our Bibles with us tonight, go ahead and get it in your hands. We're going to use it and we're going to work through it. But a question for all of us first is this. I'm just curious as to how we would answer the question, what is this? Okay, what does that mean? What is the Bible? I mean, I know it's the Bible, but what is the Bible? It's God's Word, right? There's lots of ways that we can answer this, but here's the thing for all of us to think through tonight. Think about what this has done for us and how this has shaped our hearts and our lives. And we're basing everything on God's Word and on our Bible. So for all of us, we need to have a really good understanding of what this is and the implications of it and be ready to do what God's Word has called us to do. Everything about my relationship with God, I've learned it right here, and this is where I get it and walk it out. It's from what I believe to be God's Word, right? So that's the first question for us tonight. A lot of y'all, first graders, thank you, shout it out. What is the Bible? The Bible is God's Word, okay? The Bible is God's Word. I want to look at three scriptures tonight, and first graders, go ahead and turn there so that you can hear and know that whoever is on stage talking, right, we're not saying our words. We want to point you to God's Word. So I want you to see it in your Bibles. The first passage of Scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In your new Bibles that you got, that's page 1331. That's probably only applicable to our first graders, though. In my Bible, it is page 992. So anyway, we'll be all over the place. This is what God's Word says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, right? The Bible is Scripture, so that's what we're looking at here. All Scripture, our Bible, is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or the first grader of God, right, may be complete and equipped for every good work. So it's God's Word. It's breathed out by God. It's from His mouth right here to our Word, and it's useful for life to teach us, to train us, to correct us so that we can do all that God wants us to do. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. That's page 1365, first graders. As you're turning, let me read it. It says this, for no prophecy was, as part of the Bible, right, was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, of course, while God used people to write down the words that would go into the Bible, it didn't come from their mind and heart. It came from the mind and from the heart of God. And it was written down for us so that we could know it. And then one more verse I want you to read as we walk through this is this. Psalm 119, verse 105. That's page 684, first graders. 684. Ed, I don't know what page in your Bible. I'm sorry. But Psalm 119, 105, you know how to get there, right? It says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just a reminder that through life, God's word is going to guide us. So what do we know about the Bible? We know the Bible is God's word. The second thing I want to make sure we all know tonight is this, is that the Bible was put together by who? It's put together by God, right? God put together His word for us. We just need to recognize, all of us, that the fact that we have the Bible is a complete miracle, right? The Bible itself is a miracle of God, the way that it came together. How many books are in the Bible? Does anybody know? First graders. Any first graders know? 66. I love it. Very nice. All right, here's the bonus question, first graders and adults, we can learn something here too. How many Old Testament, how many New Testament? Well, yeah, there's a two, right? Old Testament and New Testament, 1, 2. He nailed it, right? He absolutely nailed it. Love it. Was somebody else shouting, another first grader? What'd you got, bud? You don't know? You're close. 39-27, right, is how it's split up. So listen, but here's the deal, right? And that they're all put together, and they tell one big story of God, right? One big story. Imagine going down to our library here with Miss Jane, who does such a great job in there. A lot of y'all I saw did the Champion Readers this summer and got the ring, right? But imagine going down to the library and walking around to the shelves in there and pulling 66 books out and putting them together. Do you think they would tell one story? Do you think they would have anything really to do with each other? No, probably not, right? It'd be completely different. But God's word, it's 66 books coming together to tell one incredible story. How many people wrote the Bible? Listen, we should know about the Bible. I mean, we're basing our relationship with God on God's word. How many people do you think wrote it? Who said 40? Who was that? That was a first grade voice. You're a genius over there. I love it, right? So probably a little over 40 people wrote God's word. Kings were involved in the writing of God's word. Peasants were involved in the writing of it. Philosophers, fishermen, poets, scholars. God used all kinds of people. Did you know the Bible was written on three continents? It wasn't written in the same place. It was written in Asia and in Europe and in Africa. Three different continents, over 40 different writers, a span of 1,500 years. 66 books coming together to do what? To tell one story. Listen, God put this together, and the next thing we need to know about the Bible, it's God's word. He put it together, and it is 100% true. 100% true. First graders, if you read in the New Testament, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, Jesus and his life, you know what Jesus did a lot? Jesus quoted Scripture a lot. Right, Jesus had verses in the Bible memorized, and he quoted them. So Jesus himself saying them reminds us that what? It's true. Jesus believed it was true. John 17:17 says this, "Your word is truth." Jesus affirmed that God's word is absolutely true. And I thought about getting really deep into this. I'm having second thoughts now. So I'm going to skim over this part, and maybe we can hit it another night. But how do we know that this is what was originally written down by the people that wrote it a long time ago? Have you ever had somebody ask you that question? Have you ever thought that? Because a lot of these people lived thousands of years ago that wrote it down. How do we know that it's the same? There's some history there, right? That's something that we have to wrestle with. That's something that we have to think about. Moms and dads, you can take your first graders down this road as they get a little older, but just for all of us, we just need to know and realize, man, that there are a lot of very smart people that done a lot of really, really good history stuff on this. Who read the Iliad by Homer? Anybody? First graders get the cliff notes when you have to do that in school, right? But here's just a couple of things about it, right? About the Trojan War and all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of people take it as history and say, this is set, this is there, we've got it as he wrote it. The earliest copy that we have to when it was originally written was 500 years. There was a gap of 500 years between the original writing and the earliest copy that we've got. That's a long time, right? I mean, that's a lot of generations away from the people that were actually involved. And we've got about 600 manuscripts or copies of it, which sounds like a really, really good thing, and it probably is. But let me tell you about God's word. Okay, let me tell you specifically about the New Testament of God's word. You know the time gap that I just talked about for the Iliad of 500 years? It's 25 for the New Testament, from the time it was originally written to our earliest manuscripts. 25 years is not a long time. You know what that means? The people that wrote it and the people that are featured in it were still alive at the time of those copies. So if it was wrong or different, they could have said, that's not what I wrote. They could have said, no, I was there, and that's not how it's happened. But it didn't. It was affirmed and confirmed as it spread around. And there's more than 600 copies or manuscripts. You know how many there are in the New Testament? Over 24,000 copies and manuscripts. The Bible is a remarkably historically accurate book. We can with confidence open up and read it and know that we've got what God wrote down for us originally. So that's important for us to know as we think about the Bible being true. A lot of books to go deeper on that. Now's probably not the night, right? But we need to know the Bible is God's word, and it is absolutely 100% fully true. All right? So knowing that, and knowing that the Bible's a miracle, first graders, here's a question for you. Everybody can chime in. What's the message of the Bible? Right? What's the Bible all about? if it's true, if it's God's word, if it shapes all of our life, if we're basing our eternity on it, we need to know what it's about, right? I'm hearing a lot of people saying, Jesus. If worse comes to worse, and there's a question from up here or in life group, just yell, Jesus, Jesus. And you're probably right. And in this case, you are, right? That's the message of the Bible. I was on an airplane one time, and I've told this story before. I'm sitting there, I'm reading my Bible, going somewhere to preach, and a guy sticks his hand in my ear and pulls my earbud out and says, hey, what are you reading? I said, the Bible. And he says, tell me what that's about. And I looked at him and said, it's about Jesus. And then I began to explain it, right? It's about Jesus. I want you to learn to tell the story, first graders and parents, and all of us, by the way, to tell the story of the Bible with your hands. Everybody hold up your hands if you got two, right? Let me see your hands. Most of us got two. We're good. Some of us are doing spirit fingers. I like that, Frank. I like that. That's good, right? So here's the deal. Tell the story of the Bible with your hands very, very simply. We know the Bible is about Jesus. In the very beginning, who created everything? God. God created everything. Who was the first man?
Jesus.
Not Jesus. Didn't work that time. Adam, right? Adam. The first woman was who? Eve. Where did he place them? Where did they live? The Garden of Eden. Now listen to me. This is very important. First graders, give me your eyes. Look up here. That's the very beginning of the Bible. We see that God created people and God placed them in the garden. Listen to this. With him. God was there, and the Bible says that God walked and God talked with the people, so God created people to be in a relationship with him. Now, we're going to use our hands, okay? We've got God, hold one hand up, and we've got us, hold another hand up. Look, go like this. We were created to be in a relationship with God, right? That's at the very beginning of the Bible. Now, listen to me. Wait, what happened? What did Adam and Eve do? What choice did they make? They made a bad one. You're right. They chose what they wanted over what God wanted. And listen, this is what happened. Here's the story of the Bible, real quick with our hands. Everybody look at my hands. They made a choice of what they wanted over what God wanted. The Bible calls that sin, and this is what happened. They were moved out of the garden. Listen, guys, their sin separated them from God. And here's the Bible. The rest of the Bible is about God's plan to do this, to bring us right back into the relationship we were designed and created to be in. That's the story of the Bible. And ultimately, you shouted it out a second ago, ultimately God's plan to do this and to bring all of us into a right relationship with him was Jesus. God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that as we place our faith and trust in him, this happens. Right? It helps us understand the Bible. It helps us know the Bible. This, with my hands, helped me share the story of the Bible with a man sitting next to me on an airplane. Listen, moms and dads and parents and grandparents, this is not just for our kids, this thing right here. This is for us to understand the Bible too and to be able to explain it with the people that God brings into our life. If they live in our house or somewhere else, we've got to be able to understand and tell and share the story of the Bible. We can see all the way through it how God is building up this plan to ultimately bring Jesus into the world at the perfect time, at the perfect place, to do the perfect thing so that you and I could enter into a relationship with God. So listen, the Bible is God's what? Word. The message of the Bible is who? Who's it pointing us to? To Jesus, right? To God. It's pointing us to Jesus. So here's a question then for all of us to answer. If we know the Bible is God's word, if we know that Jesus is the centerpiece bringing us back into relationship with God, what do we do with our Bibles? First graders, about 100 of y'all just got a brand new Bible tonight. What do you do with it?
Read it.
Read it. Moms and dads, what do we do with it? Read it. Right? We've got to read our Bibles. That's the first thing if you're filling in those blanks. We've got to read our Bibles. This is not something to sit on the nightstand. It's not something to sit on the dresser. It's not something to put on the bookshelf. This is meant for us to use it, to read it, to soak it up, to be in it all the time as we read God's Word. Here's a couple of questions that just naturally come up when we say it's time to read the Bible. One of the questions is this, is families, all of us, when do we read our Bible every day? I heard lots of different answers, and we should, right? All of us need to have our plan for reading God's Word that works for us. But here's the point. Got to have a plan. Moms and dads, you got to set the pace with this in the house, right? We set the pace for our kids and when they're going to be in God's Word. And it doesn't matter how old we get. If we're 6 years old and we just got our first Bible, if we're 36 years old and we've been reading the Bible for a long time, or 66 years old, all of us need a plan of when we're going to get into God's Word every day. I have the same plan every day, and it's consistent, and it's blocked out in my life, and I know that's when I'm going to be soaking up God's Word in a major way. Another question about reading it is this, is how do I read it if I don't understand it? First graders, let me tell you something. Start flipping through your Bibles, your new Bibles right now, and you're going to notice a couple of things. There are little notes and squigglies and bubbles and arrows all in that Bible to help you understand it. Moms and dads, our Bibles, if you have a study Bible, there are so many notes in there to help us understand it. Let me encourage you with this. If you're reading something and you don't understand it, you don't get it, dig around and ask questions. Get a commentary. Go online. Go to a website. Go to the church website. We've talked over a lot of different scriptures you can find and see and read and know. But the question, or the thing is this. Make sure when you read God's Word, if you have questions, that you work hard to find answers. Last night, we were reading the daily Bible reading plan that our kids' ministry puts out. Was reading it with my second grader now last night. As he was reading through it, he had a question. And you know what he did? He asked the question, and I told him this. The best readers of God's Word, no matter what age they are, kids or adults, the best readers of God's Word are those that are willing to ask questions and then to dig around to find the answers. That's how we learn, right? That's how God has wired our brains. Dig around, ask questions, and find answers in God's Word. And here's the last question about reading the Bible. Where do we start? Hey, first graders, I think you picked up one of these tonight. Start here, right? Our kids' ministry does a great job. This goes with your life group lesson. Read it every single night. Moms and dads, help them with this. And then moms and dads, all of us, let's make sure we have a plan to read through God's Word. God's Word is what? It's breathed out by God. It's useful for teaching, for correcting, for reproof, for training in righteousness, so that all of us, so that the church may be equipped and complete for every good work. Listen, you don't outgrow a need to be in God's Word. All of us need to be in God's Word on a regular basis. The best plans that I have found that I use personally are from the YouVersion Bible app. I don't read it on my phone. That's okay if you do, but I take the plan from my phone and I do it through God's Word. If you're looking for a new plan or you want one, go to the YouVersion Bible app or type out YouVersion on your computer and type in The Essential 100. The Essential 100. We took some neighbors and friends through that this past fall. Phenomenal. So good. Genesis to Revelation in 100 days, and it's really, really cool picture of God's Word. But first graders, 6-year-olds, 26-year-olds, 36, 46, 56, we can go up as high as we want. Let's have a plan to read God's Word. Next thing we do with our Bible is this. We memorize it. I did some math earlier on my phone, just memorizing one verse per month from the time I was 6 years old until now. And if I memorize one verse a month in that time, I should have, I think, something like 380 or 480 verses memorized from just one verse a month. And then I had to ask myself this hard question. Do I have 380 or 480 verses memorized? And the answer right now is I don't know. I would have to start writing them down to see. But listen, we need to memorize our Bible. Psalms 119:11 says this, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. All of us, again, we don't outgrow this. We need to be memorizing God's Word regularly. Have a plan. First graders, you've got a verse every week to memorize here. Walk into it. Moms and dads, make this a game. They're at an age in their life now where they will memorize faster than probably any other age in their life. Let them memorize this stuff and hide it in their heart. I was in Bible drill at Champion Forest a long time ago. I would imagine that a huge portion of the verses that God has hidden in my heart were learned in that season of my life right here at Champion Forest as a kid. Hide God's Word in your heart as a kid and as you continue to grow up. Memorize it. And last thing that we need to do with God's Word is this. You ready? Do it. We got to live it. We've got to do what God's word says. Listen, for all of us, if we know a lot about God's word, if we have a lot of Bible verses memorized, if we know what it says, but we don't do it, we have completely missed the point. You understand that? This is not about building up a knowledge base. This is about it being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's so that we can do what God's called us to do. In first grade, 12th grade, and whatever grade some of us are in now that are no longer in school, right? We've got to do what it says. Jesus said in John 14, 21, those who love me, you know how this verse ends? Those who love me do what I say. Obedience to Christ is a sign that we actually do love him. Those who love me do what I say. So we've got to do what God's word says. Here's a few places we can start, and then we'll wrap up. If you're not sure what God's word says, if you don't have a lot of verses memorized, or you're wondering where you could start, somebody asked Jesus, hey, what's the most important thing for me to do if I'm going to be obedient to God? And you know what Jesus said? He said to love God with all your heart. Then he said to love the people around you. So if you're not sure what else to do, love God with all that you've got and love the people that God's placed in your life. God's word is here for us to know him, and as we know him, to do what he's called us to do. So first graders, man, my prayer and my hope is that you guys would soak up God's word nonstop, right? That you would be reading your Bibles in the morning, the evening, whatever you and your parents decide is going to be that best time. Use it to help you continue learning how to read and just fall in love with the incredibleness of God's word from an early age. Moms and dads, parents, grandparents, church members, all of us, listen. We don't outgrow it. A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let's commit to being in God's word in a major way. I'll end with this. Have I said that twice already? I really will end with this, right? So we did a survey a few months ago. Does anybody remember that? In the Sunday morning worship services, every venue, every campus. We did this survey, and it has been so amazing to read through and just to see and shape, all the different things that are going on at our church, all the great things. One of the things that an overwhelming, majority of people said, there was one question about our own personal spiritual walks. And this was adults answering, not kids now, right? The thing, the area that people self-identified that we need to grow in is consistent reading of God's word. Consistent reading of God's word. So as we talk to our first graders tonight, about that, we want to set that habit in their life as kids so they grow up knowing and learning and loving God's word. But for all of us, no matter how old we are, it needs to be a major part of our life, because my hope and prayer is that God's word would shape and drive everything that we are and all that we do as it draws us deeper and closer in a love relationship with him. So tonight, if you're saying, you know what, I need to shore up or recommit my daily walk in God's word, take some of the things that we've suggested and use it to walk closely and intimately with the Lord each and every day. We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.